Minutes, Mark Brenne on CFAX 1070.
Friends all tried to warn me, but I held my head up high. All the time they warned me, but I only pass them by.
5:35, 25 minutes before 6, there has been a record number of fires this year in Brazil's Amazon rainforest. They look at this stuff from the sky using satellite, and the U.S. National Institute for Space Research says its satellite data shows there's been an 84% increase in the number of forest fires and the square footage of forest fires this summer over last. Let's find out what's happening in the Amazon. Ann Dale is with us. She's a professor of the School of Environment and Sustainability at Royal Roads. Good afternoon, Ann.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking the time. What's happening in Brazil where there are just so many fires?
Well, I think the scale of deforestation has finally caught up. And so with all of it happening, you've got more dramatic sort of visualizations of the clear cutting. And the deforestation is largely a result of agriculture practices and mining, and so it's industrialization taking over the forest. So one has to ask oneself, what's driving it?
Okay, so just let's give a number on this. How many fires have been detected between January and August? Okay, so we're talking about, I guess that's a roughly 6 months. How many fires have been detected?
I'm not sure of the exact number, Mark.
I've got it here, according to the BBC. 74,000 fires, the highest number since 2013. And apparently, there's been 9,500 forest fires just since last Thursday.
Right. And people are blaming the new president. And, of course, he is all for economic development. But this has been a long trajectory, right, of consistent and persistent deforestation. But it has greatly increased under his government, of course.
So what's the relationship between the fires and deforestation? Because it sounds to me like, you know, when you deforest and you build a wall, sort of a firewall, where you cut down trees, wouldn't this also in one way help negate the number of fires?
No, because if you clear cut, then what it does is it just fire then spreads all over the territory. But as well, what you've got is climate change happening, of course. So you've got increasing temperatures, which is exacerbating the problem.
What about local farmers? Are they contributing to this?
Yes, they are, because they're clear-cutting. But that's what you get when you've got poverty and people are trying to rapidly get a living. And so they're cutting more and more in the forest to raise beef. So when I talked about what are the driving factors, one of them is our demand for beef.
So the next time I go for a nice, big, delicious burger, I should be reminding myself that maybe this is not a good idea.
Well, the global world we live in, yes, your demand for that, you know, wonderful hamburger, if you have a hamburger every night, that's contributing to deforestation in the Amazon. I don't know if you know this or not, but you know what the biggest single thing you can do to individually reduce your greenhouse gas emissions?
I don't. Go ahead.
Reduce, more than getting out of your car, reduce your meat consumption to twice a week. Even more preferable would be going vegetarian, or even better, vegan. Neither of those two can I do, because I do enjoy my meat. But as an adult, and there are health co-benefits, of course. As an adult, you don't need meat more than twice a week. And then even more preferable, if you buy your meat locally and support your local economy, then you're decreasing the demand for clear cutting in the Amazon, ironically.
Yeah, exactly. You're cutting down on how much greenhouse gases are used to transport that hamburger from wherever, from Alberta, I guess, to here. Let's get back to that's a good tip, and I'm going to take you up on that. I could do that. I could do twice a week with meat, chicken on Wednesday and a burger on Saturday. I could do that.
And lamb now and again, yeah.
Yeah, bah, to lamb. Tell me what the situation is in the Amazon itself. We've seen things on the internet or on movies or on television, and you see the swath of all this land, all these trees have been cut down. How much of the Amazon is still intact?
I think you've got approximately about 40% still intact. And then the other great tragedy, of course, is the Amazon is one of the most biodiverse areas in the planet. Essentially, just like wetlands are the lungs of lakes and rivers, the Amazon is the lungs of the planet.
Wow. So what's happening to all these insects, these animals? This is such an incredible variety of exotic species. We should be worried about them too, I take it?
Oh, yes. I don't know if you're aware of the latest United Nations report on biodiversity loss, but we're facing a major extinction. But it's not just even the biodiversity itself. It's the library of life, but they also contribute to medicine. They contribute to resilience through, more diverse food products in case there's ever a downturn. We are all familiar with the potato famine in Ireland in the 1800s, where you had hundreds of varieties of potatoes, and then they became more and more homogenous. And then when two or three species failed, you had this immense famine. So we need biodiversity offers sort of a safety valve of redundancy. If one species goes and you've got a couple of others that can compensate. But when you clear cut huge swaths of forests, then you're losing incredible resilience and vitality of life.
Somewhere in there is probably the cure for cancer,
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Ann Dale's with us. She's with Royal Roads University, where she's a professor in the School of Environment and Sustainability. We're talking about all these fires. My goodness, so many fires in the last year. 74,000 fires between January and August, just basically eating up the Amazon. Bill, thanks for taking the time to listen. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. So I have a question for the guest, the professor from Royal Roads University. I know the thing is terrible happening in the Amazon, but what about us here? It seems like only 10% of our old growth on Vancouver Island is left. What are we doing here in BC? Because it seems like over there they cut the trees because they're poor, but over here we cut the trees because we are rich, or what? Because we care about the Amazon. But it seems like we don't care about us.
Interesting question, Bill. Go ahead, Anne.
Well, I think we have to care everywhere, but I think you've raised a really, really important point, Bill. If a country as rich as Canada can't get its act together and have sustainable forestry practices, then how do we expect poor areas of the world to sustain their forests? So we've got to get our act together here. And it's really important. There's another interesting fact about old-growth forests that I learned recently, that, cedar shakes, for example, from the older trees are more water-resistant than cedar shakes from the new trees. So we're even losing functionality.
Wow. Did not know that. Is it too late for the point from Bill and you, very well taken. I mean, this is a very poor country. I don't know, more than 50% of the population lives in poverty. And if we can't do it here in Canada, where we're so affluent, I don't know how they're going to do it in Brazil. But is it too late for the Brazilian rainforest? Is there any hope for the Amazon? The fact you took so long to answer gives me chills.
Yes.
It sounds like no.
Yes, it's really hard nowadays, right, for climate scientists to keep their hope. The science is pretty clear, but can you live without hope? I don't think so. So, I mean, half of me wants to say yes. The science part of me wants to say no.
Well, the fire situation right now, Sao Paulo, one of the largest cities in Brazil, they had a blackout earlier this week, more than 2,700 kilometers away from the rainforest. And they looked into why this happened. It was smoke from the Amazon fires.
Right.
And
yeah.
It wasn't really an electricity blackout. It was just a smokeout. Wow. Hey, listen, Anne, thank you so much for taking the time. I'd love to talk to you again in the future about this and any other stories that are similar to this. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Take care. That's Anne Dale. She's a professor in the School of Environment and Sustainability at Royal Roads University.